Okay, yesterday we left off here in Parak Yud Zayin. Now I went back and looked at the Alshich that I said yesterday with the three things that Hashem was telling Eliyahu about Kedma, Avram Avinu, and the Yarden and the Arvim. So the Ariv and the Kalev were the two animals that were Mishamish in the Teva. Against the wishes of Hashem and Noach. So that is why we said yesterday that maybe if Noach could say that if you're not following the rules, I'm not going to give you any food, and still Noach did. So therefore that's what he was teaching him, even though he did something wrong. Now it does sound, yesterday I kept on saying that Hashem was just telling him you have to keep things in perspective. When I look closely at the Alshich, it looks like Hashem is having a little bit of a tine on him, that even though he's going out of his way to be Mekadesh Hashem by making this Rav, however Hashem was saying that he wasn't so happy with it, because even though the Kiddush Hashem is worth it, but the Tsar to everyone else could be is not so worth it. That's why he sent the Ariv first?
Yeah.
See, some of the Farshim over there in Chumash learn that he sent the Ariv out because since the Ariv is Mishamish, too bad, you're gone. Right? It doesn't say, by the Yain it says, Leroy Takalu Hamai Me'alarv. It doesn't say, it says, Vaishalach HaTairiv. Right? So some say he was sending it goodbye, you're finished, go out into the Mavel, you're done, and then that's the end of Arvin. They lost their schutz. That's what some say. But you're saying that Adarava, because they already had...
Well, according to that, it was
still last. Right. Well, there were minim that not every min was saved, right? The pashas was the minim that were not nishkas. The minim that were nishkas, if you look over there, could be they weren't saved. These were all ones that weren't nishkas, maybe. Right? And I have to learn the psukim over there in Nayah to see exactly what went on. But that's the Arvin. There's a different thing I was mixing up from Daf Yomi recently. I talked about this, about we know Chum was Mishamish also in the Teva, but the Cheshbonis, because someone, one of the giants before the Mabba, lived with Chum's wife, and that's how some of the giants, like we know, hung on to the Teva. But there were other giants also that were around Sichain, where they come from, and some say that they were, one of the giants lived with Chum's wife, and Chum's wife was Mubaris, and that's why Chum didn't have a problem being Mishamish with his wife, because the whole reason not to be Mishamish is not to have kids, which he was expecting already. What's the difference? So that's where it comes in, the idea of Chum's wife. But that's nothing to do with the Ariv. The Ariv had its own problems together with the Caliph. Okay. Fine. That was yesterday. Now I also want to point out another thing is, and this is a little important thing, and that is that we're assuming the word Arvim means birds, ravens. However, there are a lot of Mefarshim who say that Arvim are actually people from the city of Arev. There was a city in Yisrael or somewhere called Arev, and it's as if it said Arvim. People from Arev. They were businessmen. They were the people who brought the food. It wasn't actually birds. It takes care of all the other problems of how they got the meat and the kosher and the this and coming from Akav and all the other things. It weren't how what?
How did they get the Akav?
Not the Akav, I mean the
Leo? No, yes. How they get the food from Akav table.
They didn't. They brought their own food. They don't have any problems according to that.
Okay.
And Chazal that say that it was a bird. The birds brought from Akav's table. Okay. Fine. So then we said, okay, we're up to Pasuk Ches. So he's Var Hashem Elav Lema. Is it Miket Yamim in Pasuk Zion said the Nachal dried up because there was no rain. So Hashem said, Kum Leich Tzarfata Asher LeTzidain, go to Tzarfas, which is in Tzidain, V'yashavta Sham, and you should stay over there. Hinei tivisisham isha amana l'chalkalecha. I've commanded an isha amana to give you food. Now, what does it mean? Hashem commanded. She was in Aviyah, Ruach HaKadosh. The Metzudah says, Zimantisham. Tivisi doesn't mean I command, it means I prepared over there. Zimantisham, I prepared that there's a lady who's going to be mechalkel you. Rashi says, Tivisisham. See, the Radak has a whole shail over there. What does Tivisi mean? The Tivisi doesn't mean that obviously Hashem didn't give her a Nevuah, Ruach HaKadosh, but you could say it means I put into her heart the idea that she should be Mechalkel you. Right? It says, what? No, the Radak says that. And it's similar to, in Pasuk Dalet, it said, Vesha Arvim Tivisi L'Chalkel Hashem. I commanded the Arvim. Hashem commanded the Arvim. Hashem put it in the whatever, into the computer system of the Arvim's brains, that they should just go and do this. He didn't command them. So the same thing, maybe it means I put into her heart the idea that she should be mechalkel you. But the Radak doesn't like that. He says, because as we're going to see, she didn't want to give him anything. She had no food for herself. She barely had for herself and her son, as we'll see in a moment. She didn't want to give him. So how could you say Hashem put in her heart the idea to give Elio? She refuses to give Elio. So Rashi says, Tivisi sham bipamal yashali. Tivisi means I have commanded in my pamalia, meaning in Shamayim, I have decided that it's going to happen. How? That through the almana. Not that I told her, not that I was mitzvah her, but in my pamalia, I put out a decree, a tzava, that it's going to happen through her. Now we'll see how it plays itself out. Eventually it will happen through her. But it's not that I was ma'ir her to go and do it. She doesn't want to do it. Till Elio handles with her. Tivisi, where did I command it? I have decreed it here in Shemayim that it's going to happen. So either we have Tivisi means I prepared, like the Mitzudais. The Radak says maybe it means in the heart of the Amana I was ma'ir her to do it, like by the Arvim. He doesn't like that. And Rashi takes care of it by saying, Mepamal Yashali. So I commanded, or I prepared, or I would command it here, and this almana is going to be Mechalka. Who is this almana? So Chazal tell us, that brings this down also, B'Shem Chazal, that this almana was the mother of Yoina ben Amitai Hanavi. And she was obviously big tzaddikus, megagel and schus al yedei zakai. We bring about the schus of Elio being fed through an isha who's a tzaddikus, megagel and schus al yedei zakai. The Abarbanel says that the reason why Hashem sent Elio to her was this was all part of the Hashgacha here. Meaning, Hashem already knew that her son is going to die. Alpidara Chateva. Hashem also knew that her son's supposed to be Yaina ben Amita, he's supposed to be one of the big Navi. She needs a schus in order that her son could come back to life or remain alive. So Hashem sent Elio to her in order that she should feed Elio, and now she has a tzchus that when her son dies, Elio will be able to mechaya meisim. So Hashem is orchestrating the whole thing here, not that Elio should be on site in order that her she needed a tzchus. It's not so simple to get chiyas hameisim, even for Yaina ben Amitai. They say, so why did Hashem need for him to die? I don't know all these cheshbonos. However, but on the assumption the son's going to die, Hashem needed that she should have a schus. So Hashem sends sometimes schusim to people and they don't even really know why that schus was sent to them, what they were saved from because of that schus.
That
what?
actually not a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea to pass up things that come your way. You never know what Hashem is sending your way. 100% correct. What? That's what you were trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, now. Vayakam vayelech tzarfata. So Elio got up and he went to Tzarfas. Vayavayo Pesach ha'ir, and he came to the Pesach ha'ir. Vinei sham isha amana, and there was over there an isha amana mikasheshes eitzim, and she was gathering up wood. Vayikra eileh, so he called her vayemar, and he said, chino li matmayim bakli v'ashta, give me a little bit of water in my kli, in this kli, and I will drink from it. Now, did Elio know that this was the right lady? Mm-hmm. So Rashi says, no. Hu loy haya makir ba'almana sh'amar le'akadosh baruch hu. He had no idea who it was. The lamad me'eliezer eved Avram. So he learned from Eliezer eved Avram, v'amar, he said, oysa shatita limayim lishtais hi ha'almana. I'm going to start asking around. Whoever wants to give me water, and then whoever says yes, so that's obviously the right almana. I don't know the right almana, or that is the almana. I don't know if he had to then ask her if she's an almana or not. But that would be the right one. Now the Malbim points out that it says Vihine Sham, and there was there. And you say Vayavel Pesach Eir Vihine Isha Amana. What's Sham? So the Malbim says it doesn't seem that this is where she usually was. She didn't live right here by the Pesach Eir. Hashem made it. Continuing with his orchestrating events here. He orchestrated that she should be gathering the Eitzim right there by the Pesach Ha'ir, right as Eliyahu is coming in, so Eliyahu should bump into her and meet her. V'hinei Sham means, and behold, she was there. She's not usually there. Hashem made it V'hinei Sham, but she's there, so that when Eliyahu walks in, the first person he meets is the right Amam. So Elio asks for some water, so she says okay. So she's on her way going. Might as well bring some bread too, I'm a little hungry. So he did the test with the water, but once she said yes, he said on your way back, as you're bringing the water, might as well bring some bread too. And she said, Chai Hashem Alekecha, she's saying the lashon of a shvua. And it's this lashon of Hashem Elokecha is not a very common lashon. Usually, someone makes a shvua, they say Chai Hashem Elokim or Chai Hashem or something like that. Elio said Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael if there's going to be rain. Hashem Elokecha, it sounds like she saw from him that he wasn't a simple person. He was an ish kadosh, and therefore when she made the shvua, she didn't say Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Chai Hashem Elokecha, your God Hashem. She, from those words we see that she was makir, that he was someone special. So she made the shvu and she said, "Im yesh li moig, I don't even have a moig, a little bit of a cracker. Ki meloi kaf kemach bakad, all I have is a palmful of, or a spoonful maybe of, a copy of the Pefarshim say it means, a palmful of flour, umat shema and batzapachas, and I have a little bit of oil. I'm trying to find two sticks of wood. Uvasi, and I'm going to come. Vasi siu, and I'm going to bake this stuff. I'm going to make it. Li, I'm going to make it for myself. Filivni, and for my son. Vachaluno, we'll eat it. Vamasnu, and then we'll die. Because we won't have anything left after that. We have nothing left, we're going to die. So she's saying, I'm very sorry, I have nothing. And you're last on the list. I have me, and I have my son, and that's it. That's all we have, and we're done after that. Now, in Halacha, in Hilchos Staka, the Paiskim bring a proof from here that a person's parnasa comes before giving to others. Even though there's a mitzvah of tzedakah, but to say it like in a you know, a pretty way, is your parnasa comes, your tzedakah starts at home, or chesed starts at home, one of those type of things. Your tzedakah starts with your parnasa first. The Ramah passes parnasas atzmai comes before parnasas acherim, and there's an order to it. Li. Now here there was no parents involved. In halacha it comes the person's parnasas first, then the parnasas of his parents, then the parnasas of his children, and there's an order. So the Rav Sadia Gaon, who brings a proof from here, and says, you see, there was an order. She said, I'm going to make it for myself, and then for my son. And this is all before she's giving tzedakah to Eliyahu. He's not in this list. And the Ramah and Ilchus tzedakah paskins this way. Parnassus Atzmai comes before Parnassus Avivimai, and then Parnassus Banov, and so on and so forth. But Rav Sadia Gaon says he learns that he brings a proof from this pasuk of Li Vilivni, and Eliyahu is not even included here because his Parnassus comes long after the Parnassus Atzmai and Parnassus Banov. Now they bring in, some of the paskin do bring in the idea of Chayecha Kaidman here. And that is, we know there's a machlokes if two people. What? Yeah, there's a machlokes. That's Rabbi Kiva Shita. There is a machlokes there. The other man, the Amar says, and now the Gemara says, if two people are walking on the road and they have one cup of water, right? And if they drink, one of them drinks the entire cup, he will live. If they split it in two, neither of them will live. So what do you do? So one Tana says, too bad, you split it in two and that's it. And Rabbi Kiva says, Achayecha Kaidman, and you drink it and too bad. Now over here, if she only had a little bit of food, why is she giving it to her son? Achayecha Kaidman, she should have eaten the whole thing herself. Are we saying this is not like Rabbi Akiva? So the answer is no. Because Rabbi Kiva is talking about that by drinking the one cup of water, he's going to live. What do you mean? How do you live on one cup of water? That means eventually they're going to get to a place where there's water. They can't make it unless they drink now. So if I drink the cup of water, I'll have the kayach to get to wherever the next station is, and I'll get my water, and the person who's drinking the water will really live, you know, lefi derech hateva, for as long as they're supposed to. But what happens if, even if the person drinks the entire cup of water, he's just going to live an hour longer? There's no way they're getting anywhere near anything that's water. So the question is, should we split it in two, or should the two people split it in two, and they'll both live for a half hour? Or should one person drink it, and he'll live for an hour, the other person will live for 2 minutes, but after an hour, everyone's going to be gone. That Rabbi Kiva didn't say, Chayecha Kaidman. What do you, that person, everyone should get a little bit of extension of life. So over here, Al Pi Derech HaTeva, there was nothing left. That's what she said. What happens? V'achalonu v'amastu. We're going to die. So in this situation, the whole story of Rabbi Kiva doesn't apply. Because here, even if she would eat it, so she would just die a couple hours later than her son would have died. But then she plans on both of them actually dying. So in this situation, the halacha is, even according to Rabbi Kiva, Chayecha Kaidman does not apply. You split it into two, and that's why she said, Li, believe me. That would be seemingly be the simple answer if she is paskening the Shaila, not the Rabbi Kiva. What?
I know it's simple, but I'm still kind of confused a little.
Yeah.
Okay, so you drink it all yourself, then you'll live like for good, then you drink it. But if you drink it all, it still won't help you, then you're supposed to split it in half.
Correct. So over here, she planned on that there's no food left. This was it. So they're gonna die. So if she takes all in herself, she'll live a little longer. In that case, you split it, let them both live a little longer, and that's it. So Vayomer Elah Elio. So Elio tells her, Al Tiri, do not be afraid. Boyi Asiki Dvarech. Go, or come, and do like you plan on doing. Meaning, go make the bread. But change one thing. Asili misham uga kitana barishaina. First, make for me a small little uga. Vaitseisli, and then bring it out to me. Meaning, and give it to me to eat first. Vilach vilivneich tasi bachraina. and for you and your son, then you'll make it second, and then you'll eat. Now, why did Elio say she should make for him first? So the Radak says, "Al pi pshat," because he just came from a trip. Elio, he was very hungry and he was starving. So he said, "You probably could wait a couple of minutes. Make it for me first, because I'm starving." That's pasha pshat. The Radak says b'shem Chazal v'yesh drash l'fi shehaya kayin Eliyahu's a kayin shetaytu la mino iso chala tchila. He was telling her to be mafresh chala, and you mafresh chala first, take it off, give it to Eliyahu, and then, and he'll eat it, he's a kayin, and then you'll bake the rest. Yeah,
we need 5 pounds.
We'll get to that in a second. The Ralbag says, that in order for the nace to occur, as it's going to occur, she needed the schus of being Mechalkel Elio. Elio could not start this nace rolling until she gave him something to eat. He says, because the schus that she gave him food, that she needed a schus to start it going. So Leo couldn't just make magic for it to happen. He needed the schus. The schus was give him to eat, and then Elio could start the thing roll. The Malbim says that it seems there was enough food right now for her and her son to eat for whatever period of time. Well, must know, but then we're done. After that there's no food. But at the moment there's food to feed them. Says the Malbim, the nace could only occur when there's not even enough food for them to eat for now. So if they had the exact amount for their one meal now, or however you call their meal, the little bit, if it's less than that, they're in such dire straits, now the nace could start working. So therefore we have to give Elio first from that amount. Now what's left for them? Almost nothing. If there's almost nothing left, then the nace could start occurring. But Kol Zman, they still had for themselves. Elio, the nace couldn't start happening, so if she would start baking it as is, the nace wouldn't have happened. First take off some, give it to Elio. Now when I go to bake for myself, or she goes to bake for herself and her son, there's so little, it's not even enough to eat. So now the nace could occur. That's the way the Malbim explains why Elio wanted her to take off first. Now, the question is, assuming it's challah, like Chazal are saying, L'chaira, we have a problem. The first question is, why did Elio have to tell her to take off challah? Does she know herself to take off challah? I mean, she's the mother of Yaina, she's a tzadekis. Oh, she wouldn't have taken off challah if Elio didn't tell her to? So the answer is very simple. Pekuach nefesh. She takes off challah, she doesn't have food to eat. She has the exact amount. If it's pekuach nefesh, she's not mechuyev to take off challah. Yeah, she was a very smart lady. She knew, pekuach nefesh, you don't take off challah. Elio told her you could take off challah. And you should. Why? It's not pekuach nefesh. I'm going to make so much here, you'll have plenty. So why should you not be chayev in challah? So take off the challah. Since the Iker Zman of taking off the challah is right in the beginning, so obviously if she would have seen the Shefa, she would have then taken off herself, but to do the mitzvah properly, take off immediately. That's what he was telling her. But the question is that L'chaira, there was no Shir Kala here. Right? For a Shir Kala, you need the volume of 43.2 eggs. That's the volume of Shir Kala. 43 1/5. However you want to translate into cups, pounds, whatever you want to do with it. That's the Shir in Chazal. Now, she didn't have that here. She had a little handful, even the smallest Shir doesn't have that. So, what's this? So some say the answer could be that since there's going to be a Rivui, and there's going to be a Shir, Eliyahu was telling her, there's going to be a Shir of Kala here. And therefore, if there's going to be a Shir of Kala, so then you could already take off from now. It's not so simple in Halacha why that should be so. If there's not a Shir, it wasn't Chayiv yet, so you have the Shir. So what if you happen to know, Eliyahu happens to know, that he plans on making a Maifus here, and there's going to be a ton of dough here. But at the moment, there isn't. It's a little bit of a dachuk, a little bit not such a simple teretz. The Rabag here says, what exactly happened? How did the nace occur? The nace occurred that the Rabag says, the way the Rabag says the nates occurred was that the air that was in the cat, in the pitcher, in the jug that had the kamach, and the air that was in the oil flask, that turned into flour, or turned into oil. Meaning, there was a new creation here of flour and oil. The problem with that is that a new creation of flour and oil is called Shemen Shel Nes, right? You might recall, Elisha did a similar thing, right? Yeah. Also with Shemen, and remember the Pishnayim business over here, they're doing things together. And the Shunamis, according to Chazal, had a question for Elisha. What was her question? Does she have to take off Meiser on the oil? And the answer that Elisha said was
no,
because the Shemen Shel Nes. Now all of a sudden over here we're saying that there was such a big amount to make a shear of challah, shear for a challah, and she's mechuyev to take off challah. And it happens to be, I didn't really say it over there, but the same Radak over there, now the Radak's the one over there that brought down this thing of Shem and Nes, is Nachayv and Meiser. And he's the one, also over there, he learns the Nes was the exact same thing. Over there also, when she was pouring the Shem, and the Radak says the air that was in the jug turned into Shem, and that's how it kept on pouring. So, it's the same Radak, same shot, and over there he says Shem and Shel Nes. And over here, it seems that the Radak brings down that she should be Chayiv and Challah. So, it's more of a question than a good answer of what to do with it. I'm not really sure. I'll leave it as a question. There's ways, a little bit, dochuk, ways to get out of it, but the question is better than any answer I could think of at the moment.
Isn't Challah different than oil?
Well, that would be the beginning of the answer, and how is it?
It's also
Kemach Shel Nes. Kemach Shel Nes and Shemen Shel Nes.
It's all the same thing?
It's the same thing. It's the same Nes. The air turns into Kemach, the air turns into oil, so when you take Kemach of Nes and Shemen of Nes, put together, you get Challah Shel Nes, right? Challah Shel Nes or Ugo Shel Nes, why should be Chayiv in Challah? Yeah? Yeah, so that could be the way to go. And that is, over there we explained, what does it mean, Shem and Shel Nes, not Chayiv and Meiser, right? So we said, some Mefarshim say that since the original Shemen already had Meiser taken off, anything that's Nisrabit from the original Shemen doesn't need Meiser taken off. Mashenkin over here, Challah was never taken off. So if Challah was never taken off, when you're going to get to the full amount, now you'll be Chayiv in Challah. That could be a way to get out of it. I have a little problems with the answer, but that would be a way to explain it. Yeah?
If someone is making Challah, but that's not the Shear, they make it like a lot of batches in one day, but not like five recipes at once, doing one and then an hour later another one. Would they, if it's, you're making, well, throughout the day you're making the same thing over and over, just not together, will you be mechayev in a bracha?
If it's together,
you have to bring it together.
If not together.
You have to bring it together somehow to be mitzar for the shear.
If you make a pound and a half, you bake it. Another pound and a half, you bake it. Pound and a half, you bake it. You're not doing it together.
Right. So if you want, see, so pasha not mechayev in challah. But if you want, first of all, if they go in the same oven all at the same time, it might pose a problem. You have mechayev in challah.